You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
They're back together again. Eric and Jeff are reunited as friends. Old Movie BS is back together again.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. I'm your host, Jeff Bear. This, my co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hey everybody, my name is Eric D. Snyder. That gentleman's name is Jeff Bear. We're the hosts of Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast.
Brought to us by oneofus.net.
One of us.
Be one of us.
And listen, do you smell that? It's summertime.
Listen, do you smell that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's summertime right. Now. Summer box office, summer blockbuster season. We'll have the summer box office challenge.
Woo.
Coming up later in the show.
It's a big deal, people.
Lots of stuff going on, and we were off last week, so we have some things to catch up on.
Mm-hmm.
But first, no sense dilly-dallying. Let's get right to it. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That would be the second one, but the tease here is Volume 2. Do you get it? Do you get it? There's a different musical tape to listen to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember how the first one was like they came up with a soundtrack of like 70s AM radio hits, and they pitched that, and they said, yes, let's make that movie. And they sort of wrote a movie around it. This is like that again, only the different songs.
Right.
It's James Gunn, wrote and directed again. And I feel like this one has the same general tone and attitude as the first one, which is sort of like a glib Star Trek.
Yes. Yep, that's a good call.
It's just a little bit missing some of the pizzazz.
Sure, the shine has worn off just a hint.
Just a bit, the novelty, because it's the second one. Sure.
It's the second one. And it does. It made me feel like, shoot, I should have rewatched the first one again, which I didn't get around to doing. Stupid family vacations.
Ugh.
Anyway, let's focus on the positive. But it starts
with Baby Groot. He's a little twig now, and it starts with him dancing to ELO's Mr. Blue Sky, which is a very peppy song.
It's a bit on the nose, but
and it's also this is at least the 10th movie this century to use that song, so maybe yes. It's not like as fun and awesome as maybe it thinks it is. But anyway, fun, sure.
It is still a good time, and I for one, since I don't watch trailers, blah blah blah. Baby Groot hasn't worn off for me. Like I'm amused by Baby Groot.
No, I only got sick of Baby Groot because one day. A bunch of journalists on Twitter, film critics on Twitter, had gotten some promotional copies of the Baby Groot toy, and they were filling their sacred responsibility as journalists to help Disney promote the movie. By going on Twitter and dutifully reporting, hey, they sent me this toy so that I would tell you about the movie, which I'm now doing. I got very sick of it that day.
That makes sense.
But yeah, no, Baby Groot is very cute in the movie.
So it starts, and the sequence, you watch Baby Groot dance, but there's action galore behind. And I like that tease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Guardians are fighting a big space squid or something. Yeah, plenty of fun. The storyline, I think, is the problem. The story is very low stakes, and it is surprisingly uncomplicated for a Marvel movie.
The only issue is there's a lot of locations.
Yeah.
And for a while, you just don't know where the actual focus is going.
It's the basics is that Star-Lord, Peter Quill, that's Chris Pratt, finally meets his father, who he never knew anything about his whole life, just that he knew that he was not an Earthling. And it's Kurt Russell, which is a nice surprise. Your dad turns out to be Kurt Russell.
That's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream.
And so that's going on. And at first, it's Peter trying to decide if he trusts his dad because he did abandon him. But then, they make amends and whatever. But then also, this race of gold. Were they gold? Gold
they were
narcissists
gold.
Called the Sovereigns.
The Sovereigns.
And they're mad at the Guardians because the raccoon, space raccoon, stole some of their valuable space batteries.
Rocket did that because that's what Rocket do what Rocket's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
He's a space raccoon.
That's what he is.
What do you expect from those people?
How dare you? But anyway, that was the thing where I was just like, does that matter? Does this matter? Is this filler? Because you know the beginning action sequence and this monster and blah, blah, blah. You get it that that's good filler to get you invited into the film, to get you ready to get going. And that's what I just was wondering for a while. I was like, okay, that was filler. Oh, wait. I think this is filler. Wait, I think this is filler too. No, this might be a purposeful thing. And eventually we get to it. Once Kurt Russell sits you down and says, look, I've got some visual aids here. This is a new age PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. I'm going to explain to you step by step what you should care about in this movie.
It is a good 80 minutes in this movie before anything like a villain or opponent shows up to give the film some conflict. And that whole time, much of it is spent on the relationship between Peter and his father. And there's some with his other things. There's also Yondu, the blue fellow. He's a Ravager. And he's been mutinied. His crew is mutinied against him. All that's kind of going on. Mostly, we're spending these 80 minutes kind of wondering, all right, well, what's the story here? What is the problem? What's our issue here?
And for the most part, I don't really care because I am having a good time with all of these characters.
I'm having a good enough time.
I would say it's a step, Chris Pratt's presence in general. He's given less to carry in this film, and it's missed. Like you want him front and center and mm-hmm. doing all of his antics. Drax, on the other hand, that character has stepped up a notch. I actually thought that was good. I enjoyed my extra Drax.
I like him. He develops rapport with Peter's dad. Peter's dad's name is Ego, which is a bit on the nose.
He
created a planet. He lives there with this bug-eyed mantis girl who's an empath, and Drax develops a friendship with her. Once Peter accepts his father, then it turns like into a sitcom maudlin. This whole arc I have no patience for, where Gamora, it's Zoe Saldana, she thinks something is fishy about this planet and everything, and she says something, and Peter's like, gets all like, why are you trying to take this away from me? You're just jealous because I found my family. And then Gamora acts wounded because I thought we were your family. It's like, oh, shoot me in the head, both of you. Just shut up, both of you.
I didn't care for that moment. I agree.
Didn't need any of that.
Didn't need any of that.
I want more swashbuckling space action.
I know. And unfortunately, we had to focus on the family this time around. Ugh, but
stupid family.
Once Yondu really gets involved in the plot.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good time.
He's the stealth MVP, Michael Rooker, who plays Yondu.
Totally is here. Like, there's other moments that everybody is given, but he's the one where suddenly you're like, yeah, I'm really happy this character was explored. This is good stuff.
I had the same issue with this one that I had with the other one, which is that it is hard to the movie is so light and blithe about what's going on. It is hard to get caught up in the peril of the moment when the characters themselves don't seem to find it very threatening.
Not only do they not seem to have it be threatening, I kind of forget the level of superpower they have. So if somebody's falling, normally my reaction is, uh-oh, they're falling. But then sometimes they just land on their feet, or sometimes they have to grapple and hold on. And I'm just like, wait, what's everybody's power again? Could you give me a little list? Just pause and like give me your highlights.
Is that even a possibility?
The other thing this movie does that I liked quite a bit was the Gamora and Nebula, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Thanos created or birthed? I don't know.
Sisters. I don't know if he's actually the father of either one of them, but yes.
The exploration of that relationship was good for story building.
Yeah.
There's other things like Sylvester Stallone's in it for a second, and you realize, oh, that's right, because this is a franchise and we're building something.
He really isn't. I didn't imagine that. Sylvester Stallone is in the movie for like 1 minute.
Well, 1 minute, and then I think post-credits.
The credits, like, he's added another.
Maybe he added. Maybe it was an extra minute. Maybe he was actually in the movie more in the post credits. I don't know.
Might have been. It's fine. I think it's a really good, fun time. I think it's largely coasting on the goodwill left over from the first film. But the first film had a lot of goodwill.
It had a lot of goodwill. I would say the first film gave me a plethora of moments that I wanted to experience again. I think this film has less. It's less than, and it's like, I bet when I watch it again, because I think I will sit through this movie again at some point in my life, that first part is like, what are you doing? Why didn't you clean this up? Why didn't you get to it a little bit faster?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
If this is the story you want to tell, come along now.
Get to it. That first 80 minutes should have been like 40 minutes. We should have gotten to that a lot sooner.
Yeah.
I think it's
better than fine, and we're probably going to say the exact same grade.
Probably. I give it a B-, which is fine. That's the fine grade.
You're right. It's a 7 out of 10 for me. It's a little higher. And I would say it's closer to an 8 than a 6 because I really did enjoy that ending. Oh, and by the way.
Oh, the ending. You know, the ending, of course, where a very innovative idea for the end of the movie, where the heroes, they have to blow something up.
By the way, I saw it in 3D IMAX, and the IMAX was very welcome. Like, it's a lot of very colorful, beautiful-looking film.
At the screening I went to, they handed out 3D glasses, and then before it started, they said, oh, whoops, it's not in 3D after all. And I heard not a sound of disappointment from the audience. Not a whiff of disappointment that it was not in 3D.
So I had to close my eyes during many previews.
Oh, yeah.
One of which was Dunkirk. After the trailer, behind me, a man says... And again, I didn't see the trailer, so I don't know what he's exactly referring to. You know, all of those snowflakes will be out here protesting with that one. He also, later in the film...
Wait, does he think... Snowflakes usually are the liberals, so he thinks liberals are going to be protesting in the movie?
Yes.
Why, I wonder.
I don't know. But he is also the same human being that... close to the end of the movie, predicted what Vin Diesel's character would say before he said it and chose to say it out loud to let everybody know that he knew what Vin Diesel's character would say out loud.
Now, Vin Diesel's character is the one who only says one thing, right?
That's right.
Yeah, just says, I am Groot. That's all he ever says.
That's right.
And this gentleman behind you.
He accurately predicted? He nailed it.
Accurately predicted what Groot was going to say. Terrible in tone.
Like, he sounded nothing like Baby Groot. But he did, in fact, guess correctly what Groot was going to say before he said it.
Wow. Well, then I guess the liberals are going to be protesting then. Apparently this man is a prophet. Apparently he can see the future.
I had so many thoughts and wishes of what I would say to this man. Mainly the first thing, though, that I was like, curious about was like, okay, do you have a gun?
So now we've got a little movie called Buster's Mal Heart.
Oh, poor little Buster.
And his Mal Heart.
And his beady eyes. Are they beady eyes? What are these eyes? Are they sunken?
They're lizard eyes. They're
lizard.
They're sunken, baggy-eyed. It's the guy from Mr. Robot, Rami Malek.
Rami Malek here, and yep. He's at it again. I don't know. It reminded me of there's definitely, if you like Mr. Robot, I think you'll like his performance. It doesn't necessarily equate to liking the movie.
But his
performance is pretty solid, and it's maybe Mr. Robot like.
There's some element of things that are like Mr. Robot, which means they're also like Fight Club, which is, I think it's funny that he's only going to be in things that remind people of Fight Club for various reasons.
Maybe one day he'll do something different. Yeah. Anyway,
Buster's Mal Heart, written and directed by a woman named Sarah Adina Smith. And we both saw this at Fantastic Fest.
Yes.
I think maybe one of us forgot that he saw it.
maybe one of us forgot. Right.
We watched it again.
We've since watched it again.
Because here was the thing. At Fantastic Fest, I did not care for the way things wound up. I basically didn't get it. I didn't think it made any sense.
that third act, and now you think it does.
Well, it's not that I think that it makes sense.
Okay.
Particularly, it's I think I get what it's doing.
I get what it's doing,
but it's still like I understand now what happened in it, but I it still doesn't do much for me. But
here's what we have. We have a guy with a wife and a kid, and he is stuck working the night shift and
at a hotel. His name's Jonah.
Jonah, and he's tuckered. He is tuckered out. He needs some sleep. He's down on some caffeine pills to try to make this work for the family. It's just not working for him.
Meanwhile, also, along with this, there's also the same guy, Jonah, beardy and scraggly like a hobo, up in the mountains in Montana, goes around during the wintertime and breaks into unused vacation homes and just, you know, hangs out there, lives there for a while. Moves on to the next one.
He's known as Buster.
Yeah, the locals, he's, you know, he's not really committing any violent crimes, so he's not like a huge risk, but the locals, yeah, call him Buster. Old Buster's back, breaking into houses again.
And he also, like, what, calls into radio shows on occasion?
Calls into, talk radio and rants some crazy conspiracy theory things and whatever. Mm-hmm. They call him Buster. And
we don't know exactly how. If these things are connected, in what way they're connected,
or if
the timeline or anything,
it's clearly the same person. But yeah, we don't know if one is taking place before the other or after the other, or if they are simultaneous, or we don't know what the deal is with these different timelines here.
And there's a boat.
There's also yet a third thing. More meanwhile, there's also Jonah/Buster, beardy, and on a boat, a life raft out in the middle of the ocean. So. Three different scenarios here, and we're not sure how they relate to each other. We're not sure how many of them are real or whatever else. We don't know. We don't know what's going on.
But a man by the name of Brown.
He never tells us his name. I don't know why it says Brown on IMDb.
Yeah, I was going to say. I didn't remember that at all when I say it.
DJ Qualls, that weird looking DJ Qualls.
He comes along and talks about an inversion.
This is at the hotel. This is in the hotel timeline.
Right.
And he's one of those off the grid. I don't carry money or have credit cards or tell people my name, and it's all going to think the second inversion is going to happen at Y2K. This is all set apparently before Y2K. Going to be the second inversion.
Either that or DJ Quayle is just really, really
way,
off his rocker.
Way behind, yeah, way behind the times. The first inversion was when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And in the Garden of Eden. Now the second inversion, something else will happen, and things will be upside down, and everything's going to change. And then it seems like Jonah then sort of becomes infected with this crazy talk. But again, it's not clear how it's all working. There's a religious side of it here. There's a religion side. Jonah's wife, played by Caitlin Scheel, is apparently this is interesting. She's apparently Mormon, kind of. Or something.
You mentioned this the first time we saw it. Uh-huh. Like you picked up on things
because
I don't know if you know this. You're Mormon.
I am. Yeah. You went to church once, didn't you? Recognize the hymn books? Yeah. There's a scene set in church where she's up there bearing her testimony, and you can see in the background a shelf of hymn books that clearly to a Mormon are identifiable as Mormon hymn books. And the thing that she says are Mormon-ish. What's interesting is they get the terminology almost right, but not quite. People keep referring to the Holy Father as God, and Mormons tend to say Heavenly Father, not the Holy Father. But these people say Holy Father.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's just – it's interesting to get it
– F-minus, let's move on.
No, it's a funny choice to get it almost right but not exactly right.
Well, and maybe that was a choice. Maybe it wasn't a choice. Maybe it just wanted to refer to a variety of religions. Maybe the set, the church that they were able to film it, that was all that was available. Maybe. Who knows?
I guess I can ask her
but
on
they
Twitter.
Did, yeah, but they didn't make it clear.
But the point being that it's a fairly old-fashioned religion because Jonah's mother-in-law is very prudish and wears the long sleeve dresses and doesn't approve of speaking a foreign language and stuff like that.
So all of this struck me as interesting. The problem is, even though it's just over 90 minutes long, the pace is plodding, like slow, like not much is going on. So you're just kind of waiting to find out what's going to happen and how these events are connected. But the movie it doesn't have any sense of urgency with letting you know what's going on.
No. In addition to his wife being religious, Jonah also keeps seeing religious references on TV, like TV preachers and whatnot. So I feel like, and it's all a, the ultimate thing that it's all about is he's like, he's questioning God. His name is Jonah, which is a biblical thing, and he's, you know, on a life raft. And the movie starts with a song. I don't know the song, but it references Jonah and the whale. So we're supposed to be thinking about all these things and how God interacts with man and whatnot. And then, seeing the film a second time, I understand.
There's clarity on the timeline.
I understand factually
in the third
what,
act.
Yeah, what, yes. what happens and all that, but it just doesn't mean anything to me.
Agreed. It doesn't mean anything, and there's still one thing that I can't connect, and we can talk about that after, of course.
I think to me it feels like what's her name, Sarah Adina Smith, that I think it all makes sense in her head. But it's just not quite, it's coming together in the way that I can put the pieces together and get it, but it's not having the impact. It's not connecting with me.
Yeah.
It's sort of like on paper, I see, oh, okay, I see what you're saying, but it's not landing.
Agreed.
And I think it's just cause it's just too obtuse. It's too obtuse for its own good. It's kind of the way I feel about a lot of David Lynch movies. Like this is,
I can see that, yeah.
Weird and obtuse, and I can like that, but it's maybe too much,
and for
so
me,
much that it obscures all understanding.
If they would have sped things up a bit, maybe I would have been a little happier with being left in the unknown on some of the things.
Yeah.
But again, it was just like long scene after long scene, and not necessarily getting you to a place. I mean, like, he's got this side thing when he's a mountain man, he's got this side thing where this old couple accidentally came in, and he just kind of does things with the old couple for a while.
Right. People whose house he has broken into.
Right. And that doesn't, you could remove that and the story would remain the same pretty much is my feeling, except you get a little sense of maybe who that guy is and how he interacts with people, but only a little bit.
And it's also that whole segment sequence is very strange because it's kind of funny. Kind of. That's another weird thing.
Yep.
I think this is a good effort. I think that Sarah Adina Smith probably has some good movies in her yet to come. This is not her first movie. It's her second movie, I think.
But it is somebody now that I will pay attention to, and I'll be like, oh, she's at a film fest. Yes, I want to see whatever she does next, because there is potential there. Yep.
But this is a and to me an interesting swing and a miss. I don't think it's bad, but I think it doesn't quite make it. But I give it Buster's Malheart a C+.
I give it a 5 out of 10.
There was a movie a couple of weeks ago called Unforgettable.
You people don't remember it.
No, it was a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't screened for us out here. But I went and saw it, and I wanted to talk about it because there are a couple of funny things about it that I want to say.
Okay.
First of all, this is the one with Rosario Dawson and Katherine Heigl, by the way. And this movie is notable because it has your biggest movie pet peeve and my biggest movie pet peeve.
So it starts with the flash forward.
The flash forward, yeah.
That gives away way too much.
Gives away everything. Because it starts, the first scene of the movie is Rosario Dawson sitting in a police station being interrogated, and it's the cop saying, a man is dead, we've got all these Facebook messages you shared with him, we can see that you've been in contact with him, and she's like, what? No, no! And so then, a little bit later in the movie, when Katherine Heigl starts poking around, we get what her plan is. She is going to impersonate this woman online and make it look like she's been yada yada. Like we get it all before it happens.
Yeah.
My biggest movie pet peeve is movie titles that don't mean anything.
That's right, you do hate that.
I hate that so much. Vague, meaningless titles like Unforgettable. There is nothing in the movie. There's nothing at all about memory or forgetting or remembering. There's a completely arbitrary and random title, and I hate it. It's basically like a Lifetime Channel movie. Basically. And if you've seen the trailer, you've basically seen the whole story.
Yeah, you and I actually watched the trailer together before something, and I was just amazed.
Yeah, and it really...
That it just kept going and going, and there was like twist after twist after twist, and it kept telling you what would happen next.
Pretty much. And it leaves a few things like the very end unsaid. Pretty much the trailer tells you everything. And it's a ridiculous... cheesy Lifetime kind of movie.
How's Cheryl Ladd as Katherine Heigl's mom?
She's okay. She could have been better. Katherine Heigl is pretty good in it because this is a good role for her.
Because we want to hate her.
Well, I think she's smart to lean into these roles. This woman here, this character, she's brittle and demanding and exacting and icy and controlling, severely straight hair, white, a color of white not found in nature, very sterile and pristine and prim. And I think it's a good role for Katherine Heigl. She has the good overall face and demeanor of someone, of a soap opera villainess, like of someone who's going to sit in a dark room drinking red wine, plotting the demise of her rival. So
the greatest thing ever was after this trailer. If Rosario Dawson ended up being the killer, does she?
Nope. Nothing that interesting.
That'd be awesome.
No, at all. It's also one of those. I rarely enjoy the frustrating kinds of movies where a liar says insane things or is gaslighting somebody, and the victim doesn't speak up enough to explain the truth. Like, this movie needed to have a lot more dialogue on the lines of, nuh-uh, that bitch is crazy. Nuh-uh, no, she's lying. Your wife is ex-wife is a psycho, let me tell you. Instead, we get Rosario Dawson doing a lot of, what, but that's not, huh, what? And it's just, no, shut up and explain yourself.
Are you giving it something?
Yeah, I gave it a C-.
Oh, right.
I think some people, it's got that campy, melodramatic thing that some people like. So it's like, I don't even know. Like, it could be worse, or maybe it's just the right amount of bad. I don't know. I didn't like it, though. The other funny thing about Unforgettable, are you familiar with CinemaScore?
Yes.
CinemaScore is this thing where they go around on opening night for new movies, and they ask people who have just seen the new movie what they thought of it. And because it's always opening night, the CinemaScore is always very high. It's always A-, B+.
It's completely inflated.
Because the people who see the movie opening night are the people most likely to be the target audience for that movie.
Right.
So for a movie to get a bad cinema score usually means that it was marketed badly.
Yes.
It means it was not what people expected. Like Drive, Ryan Gosling, got a bad cinema score because it had been marketed like it was Fast and the Furious. So Unforgettable got a C cinema score, which is very bad for cinema score.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And what's funny is that you may recall the trailer for Unforgettable tells you the whole movie. So these people saw the trailer, presumably, chose to see the movie, and then still didn't like it. And like, I feel like that's on you. Like, that's not the movie's fault at that point. The movie told you exactly what it was going to be, and you chose to see it, and you didn't like it. Well, don't come crying to me. I feel like there's an allegory for Trump voters in there, too. This movie told you exactly what it was going to be, laid out all the points, and you still chose to see it, and then you didn't like it. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And now you know what it's time for.
Here we go.
It's time for the Summer Box Office Challenge Draft.
Oh, boy.
It's our seventh one, folks. And here's how it works. Let me lay it out for you in case you're new to the show. The Summer Box Office season begins this week and goes through August. We, the two of us, are each going to choose 10 films opening this summer. We're going to add up those films' opening weekend box office.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday only.
Yes. And then whoever's add up to the most wins. It only opening weekend and only Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And yeah. And then we will have terms of the bet. The loser will have various punishments that we will come up with soon.
We'll give you some of those at the end of this show and then maybe come up with a few more.
Yeah, yeah. We reserve the right to change them and add to them and whatever. But so now, first we have to do this draft. We're going to choose our movies. We'll each have 10 different movies. And always a very exciting time. You sports fans, I know, love this.
And if you are new to the show, last year I didn't try and I lost.
Last year, Jeff began the draft by offering excuses.
I had a new kid and
whatever.
Something. I didn't do my homework.
Yeah,
I didn't do my homework and I didn't feel confident. And so then Eric, amongst other things, chopped my hair off and it took months for it to regrow to my liking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this year you've done your homework. So now no excuses, right?
I'm going to win.
So this year when you lose, you'll have no excuses.
So here, let me get set. Now, I have my kombucha drink that is called Clear Mind, which is either going to help me give me the clarity that I need or backfire, clear my mind and wipe out all proper knowledge to this contest. And a movie that I'm guessing you've never seen. Mm. I'm going to take the hat that I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. And because I'm so serious about this competition, mm-hmm. I'm going to turn it around just like that.
Oh.
I'm going over the top on my ability to beat you.
I've seen noted bad movie Over the Top.
Oh, okay.
I wrote it for my column, Eric's Bad Movies, several years ago.
Oh, yeah. I never know about your movie holes.
I know. I have some gaping movie holes. who goes first? Or do your random number generator?
I do the random number generator. Uh-huh. Because you're older, mm-hmm. Let's decide you get to
pick.
You call it.
I call it, and I'm either going to say one or two. Right? Those are my choices, one or two?
Yeah, but you can only say one of them. You can't say one or two.
I know that seems
unfair.
All right. Tell me when it's time.
It's time.
Two.
Dad! Oh, no!
I take it by your response that I get the first pick.
Oh, boy. All right. Uphill battle already. This is going to be a tough one, folks. I don't know if I can win.
Here come the excuses.
I'm just saying, you get the first pick every time.
Unbelievable.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't get the first pick every time.
So unfair. All right, go ahead.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I wanted that one so bad. I just would have felt so confident the whole summer if I could have gotten that movie.
But now you get the next two picks. That's how this works.
I know. And then we go back and forth, one
mm-hmm.
and one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Man, the wind is just, like, out of my sails.
It does not take a lot to knock the wind out of your sails, apparently.
Here we go.
One setback.
Okay. Here I go. Spider-Man Homecoming.
All right.
And, God. I'm going to say it. I don't want to say it. Transformers The Last Knight.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
I looked at the performance. I understand the marketing of Spider-Man. A friend told me Iron Man is going to play heavy in the trailers. So I am going to believe that. And then with Transformers, the last one opened just over 100 million people.
You don't have to justify yourself to me.
I'm just saying I'm really nervous.
I know you're not endorsing Transformers The Last Knight.
Well, the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to make like 250 million, and my two movies are not going to combine to do that. So I already lost.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm trying my best. All right,
trying your best to get on my last nerve.
What is your second pick?
Cars 3.
Oh, all right. That would have been not my next pick.
Well, I historically have a tendency to forget about the giant grossing animated films.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
My pick, the one I thought you would have taken, Despicable Me 3.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if we're sick of the Minion crap yet.
Well, we know we are. We'll see if the rest of America
we'll see
is.
If human beings are. That aren't us.
Next up, another one that there's no endorsement here, but Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's been long enough. I think this one's going to come back and be huge again.
Yeah. I had one movie that I wanted to take before it, so I will. War for the Planet of the Apes. I'm hoping it's upward momentum.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The second one built bigger than the first one. Maybe we can keep this train going.
A solid choice, I think. I now say Wonder Woman.
All right. Now, here's my problem. Hmm. I'm already starting to second guess my order on my list.
Right.
Everything else was falling into place. Mm-hmm. Felt good about everything.
Mm-hmm,
now I'm in that nervous part of it all.
We should just replay the recording of every previous draft and just like swap out the actual titles, because the dialogue in between is always the same.
I'm going to change my order. I'm going to say The Mummy.
The Mummy. All right.
My hunch is you're going to take the movie that I want. Go ahead and say it.
Mm.
It's hard now, isn't it? Like, it's a big drop off. Like, those are some guaranteed movies.
Now there's a bunch that any of them could be big, but it's hard to say which is going to be bigger than the others.
And you don't want the one that just craps the bed.
Right.
That's the key. You don't want Independence Day Part 2.
Right. Right.
Trust me, people. You don't want it.
this might be the one. I got two. We'll see if we have the same one or two that are kind of the ones that might crap the bed. I'm going with Alien Covenant.
That's the one I would have taken.
All right.
Now.
That doesn't reassure me.
Yeah. Here's where I get idiotic things. Because I see a list of, I believe I have 10 movies jotted down that all could open up in between 8 million and 35 million.
Wouldn't surprise us either way.
And that's, yeah. And that's, and like, really, that's it. That's what I see from now on. I'm going to go, oh man, I'm going to say it. The Emoji Movie.
Oh, the Emoji Movie.
Oh.
I did not even put that on my list of considerations.
It's got to be PG, right? Like, I'm not, yeah, like, this be. Isn't like some weird R-rated thing that I,
no, I
don't
so.
Understand, right?
No, I'm okay. sure it's a kid's thing. Yeah.
Animated kids thing. People are idiots. Americans are idiots, right?
Come on, people. A lot of them, but I don't know. July 28th, so
they're gonna,
opens.
They're going to want to see a poop emoji talk.
Maybe, that's what they're gonna wanna know. But then counterpoint, but are they really? But I don't know. You're right. It could go either way.
Fingers crossed that they do. What are you going to take now?
I'm now taking King Arthur.
Not on my list. I think it's going to bomb.
I have a sneaking suspicion it will bomb.
What is it? Like,
but
what do you
also,
think it's going to make?
Here's the thing, it's the week after, it's next week, it's after Guardians of the Galaxy. It's the only big one that weekend.
Totally agree. You do get the weekend, but it's a tough weekend because Guardians is probably
I
think it's going to make like 16.
I have a hunch you might be right, but I'm going for it. I'm playing my gut here. My gut here is that it's going to be surprisingly big.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to take Dunkirk.
All right.
Christopher Nolan. Mm-hmm. The power of Nolan compels me.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be.
I feel like that's a $40 million no brainer. That's what it should be.
That was going to be my next choice, and I would have that higher on my choices. Because
if the title
Christopher Nolan,
didn't say Dunkirk.
If it were a World War II movie, yeah. If it were something else, fantastical.
Yeah, they should have called it like Saving Another Private Ryan.
Saving Public Ryan. I now choose Valerian, and the whatever it's called.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
Really?
Looking. Yeah.
Not. I wasn't going to take it. I just couldn't trust it. Plus, I think there's two other movies that could be decent that weekend, if I remember correctly, money-wise. So it just felt like it was a crowded weekend, and I got nervous.
It's the same weekend as Dunkirk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun, then, to go head-to-head.
That'll be interesting, yeah.
I don't know if people are talking about this movie. The Dark Tower? Are people talking about it?
Yes. And here's how I know, because there's someone on Twitter who I started following a few months ago. I'd seen him retweeted several times and generally liked his tweets, so that I'm just going to start following this guy. Someone within our general wider circle of Fantastic Fest kind of people.
Okay.
And then as soon as I started following, I realized him that for some reason, he is obsessed with the Dark Tower and the upcoming movie. He only tweets about the upcoming Dark Tower movie, so I had to unfollow him finally.
So hopefully he'll buy all the tickets.
So I know at least one person is very concerned about this movie and very excited.
Serious question. How many movies do I have?
You have now 8. You get 2 more.
No!
It's my pick
can
now.
Can I have 11 movies this year?
You cannot.
Not? Interesting.
No.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Now it's really the bottom of the grab bag. I'm going to say Atomic Blonde.
Okay. I was not going to take it. Yeah.
What's her name? Who's in that? Charlize Theron? Is that who that is?
Yeah.
I saw a trailer the other night. Before something, and realized why people were saying online, "Oh, that's an awesome trailer." So we'll see.
There's inside Eric's brain, everybody. I'm going kids again. Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. All right, that was one that I also didn't really consider, but
I have no clue. Like it, you could tell me any number, and I'd go, okay.
That's the one. What was
6 million or 60 million?
I don't know. It's hard to tell with the children's things. I know that it's a popular book, but I don't know how that
translates
into movie dollars. Because I also feel like I think it's like 15 years old too. Is the thing? Like
and
maybe it's too late, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's never once crossed my mind to get my kid excited about a book called Captain Underpants.
I'm going to go with Snatched.
Oh,
The comedy. Wow. There's my comedy choice.
Yep, yep. Goldie Hawn.
And Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. Like, interesting.
It's the same weekend as King Arthur.
I know. You're covering your bases.
Yeah.
If you people don't go to King Arthur, maybe you'll go to that one.
Please go see Snatched. Yeah.
No, they're all just going to go see your Guardians of the Galaxy. Can I get Guardians of the Galaxy week 2? Get that one. And weeks 3 and 4. I'll just take all those.
Here's
my flyer. Here's my flyer.
All right.
Come on, Queen. Come on, Queen. I'm going Girls Trip.
Girls Trip.
That's right. Queen Latifah.
That is a movie. Oh, that one. All right.
Yep. Yep.
See, okay. Yeah.
Big opening weekend. I looked at his last movies, 30 million plus.
Really
the director.
Oh, Malcolm D. Lee.
Yeah.
That's true. See, my thought was
opening weekend, not total box office.
Right. Yeah. No, opening weekend.
Yeah.
And that opens July 21st, which is it's the same weekend as Dunkirk and Valerian.
I'm covering my bases.
It's going to be a busy weekend. My thought with Girls Trip was it's about black women, and those movies tend to not make as much. Like, they tend to be more of a niche thing. Not saying that's good or bad, but then they also sometimes surprise us. Sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. That could go either way. I could see that. And my final choice now.
I have 4 movies on my list. I'm curious if you'll pick any of those. Like, that I was considering.
Yeah. I'm going with Annabelle Creation, which is a horror film.
I think that's a good call.
And there's usually one horror film that breaks out.
Yep. And I think Annabelle opened at 30 million.
I think, the other Annabelle did well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was considering Amityville, The Awakening as a horror movie also.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Amityville is done. I think that's poison now.
So here's the movies that I considered. I considered Baywatch.
Yeah.
You notice it's opening on a Thursday?
That's why I didn't consider it. Yeah, it opens on a Thursday. Because we only count Friday through Sunday, so that Thursday take wouldn't count.
And then the Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature, almost took that.
Yeah.
And also then The Hitman's Bodyguard.
I see. That was a wild card. That could be a hit.
A matter of – with that is like – is Ryan Reynolds officially a star? Is he finally box office gold?
I think he might be. What made me hesitant on that one is that it comes out in August. And I looked historically, there's been at most one August movie in the top 20 opening weekends for the summer.
Ooh,
August generally is not.
The Dark Tower.
Dark Tower.
I think that's my last one.
Yeah, then. And I have Annabelle Creation the week after that.
Week after. Oh.
So there we go.
Oh,
so to recap, my 10 movies are Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Cars 3, Pirates of the Caribbean, Wonder Woman, Alien Covenant, King Arthur, Valerian, Atomic Blonde, Snatched, and Annabelle Creation. Your 10, did you even keep track of them?
No.
All right. Your 10 are Spider-Man Homecoming, Transformers The Last Knight, Despicable Me 3, War for the Planet of the Apes, The Mummy, The Emoji Movie, Dunkirk, The Dark Tower, Captain Underpants, and Girls Trip. And there we go.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So last weekend, while we were not doing a show, you, Jeff, were on vacation with your family or something.
I was. It was lovely.
I'm sure it was.
My 4.5-year-old likes roller coasters.
I don't care.
I couldn't be happier.
Nobody cares. That's not true. Many of our listeners care more than I do. The other thing is, I love your children. I love hearing about them, just not on the show. On the show, I pretend like I don't care.
Right. It's a bit.
It's kind of a bit.
It's my kids.
Anyway, but I was at the Overlook Film Festival up at the Timberline Lodge in Oregon.
I wish I could have been.
I know, it unfortunately coincided with your trip. And the Overlook Film Festival held at the Timberline Lodge, which movie fans will know, the Timberline Lodge is the Shining Hotel, kind of.
The outside of it.
The exterior in the movie The Shining, the exterior of the hotel is this hotel on Mount Hood in Oregon, about 90 minutes from here, from Portland.
The interior is in Colorado, I believe.
That's the other thing. The interior was a set in England based on some other hotel that Kubrick had been to. The hotel in Colorado, the Stanley Hotel, is the hotel that Stephen King actually stayed at that inspired the book. And when they made the TV movie of The Shining about 20 years ago, They filmed it at the Stanley Hotel. I know, right? But so they had this horror film festival at the Overlook Hotel, which is it's a fun idea, kind of a fun gimmick to hold it there.
Absolutely.
And I was lucky enough to be able to go and had a good time. It was a good, you know, short festival Thursday night through Sunday.
How many movies did you do?
I saw six or seven or eight. It was this type of programming. There were some horror films, but there was a lot more horror in the branding and in the environment than in the actual movies. The movies would all fit in at Fantastic Fest. Like there was some horror, but there's also some like Mayhem, a movie called Mayhem, directed by Joe Lynch, that's got about a rage virus that spreads in an office building and makes people start killing each other. Mm. So that's just, you know, action and blood and mayhem.
Yeah,
it's not horror.
Craziness.
Yeah, craziness. But a lot of that kind of fun stuff, which is good because, you know, not everybody wants to see a scary movie all the time. But some of the cool stuff they had going on there at the hotel, it's this old rustic lodge. And by rustic, I mean drafty. and you can hear everything through the walls.
Oh, really?
Very
thin. Yeah, I mean,
I've been
a few times. I've never stayed.
Yeah. But it's a cool, nice, rustic old lodge, a good setting. And they had a game going on, an interactive, an immersive game that you could play if you wanted to, where it was a murder mystery.
Did you kill somebody?
No, I did not.
Okay, good.
And you could sign up different levels, and most people, including me, signed up for the level where you're a player, but not like one of the hardcore players.
Okay.
Some people like going to devote the whole weekend to playing this game and solving the mystery and everything.
And they're like in character the whole time or
not
something
like
here?
Not in character, but just well, I'll get to it in a second, but like the main level that most of us were at was just you can be as involved as you want to be. And So there would be clues hidden around the hotel, clues, and there'd be actors planted, you know, doing stuff. And it's all supposed to be cooperative. It's not like a contest. We're all supposed to work together to find clues and share information and everything. I very quickly found that this was not the game for me because I kept forgetting that I was playing. Like I would see something weird at the hotel, like some flyer taped to the wall, and I would just think, huh, that's weird. But not think, oh, maybe that's a clue. Maybe that's part of the game, which it always was. So would it
dawn on you like 10 minutes later?
No, later
because somebody else was talking
later
about it?
Someone would be talking about it, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, yeah, of course that's part of the game. Duh. That happened like five times. So I realized this is not going to work for me.
Nice.
But it was fun to kind of hear from others how the game was going. And it seemed like a very clever operation. But what they – the higher level, like the really intense level, I had to sign a waiver, just a basic waiver of – you know, this is a game and whatever. There was another waiver you had to sign that gave them permission, like, to come into your room.
What?
This higher level of intense playing, that's where, like,
whoa,
at some point they come bust into your room and treat you like a suspect or something. Like, they really drag you into the game. But that requires a special waiver, and I was not interested in that.
No, you wouldn't, no.
But a friend of mine, or a new friend that I met at the festival, another press person, Sunday morning, like 6 a.m., he gets rousted out of bed by maniacs, like trying to do like a DNA swab out of his mouth and everything. And he, you know, eventually realized what was going on. I said, I did not sign this waiver. I'm not part of this game. And it turned out to be a horrible mistake. No, he had signed the same waiver as me, the same basic one, not the advanced one. It was a mistake.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like, I
and now he owns the Timberline Lodge.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, the people playing the game, the game people, they apologized profusely. There was a mix-up, and everything fine. But the hotel, to have given them the key, I mean, they would. If I'm the hotel, that's like the one job of a hotel.
Right.
Is don't
completely.
Let strangers into guest rooms. To
like
to
it's
go,
like I okay, if I give this key, I need to see his signature.
Exactly.
I need to see
he said I approve, I'm in this
That's
room.
That's amazing.
I cannot believe that there was not like double triple checking of which rooms and everything.
And luckily he seems to be a nice human being to where he didn't want to cause trouble
for the festival. Like, he doesn't want to get the festival kicked out of the Timberline. It sounds like they will not use that company next year for the immersive game. I think it really was the game people's mistake. But man,
so wait, it was a film festival though, right?
It was also a film festival, yes.
Do you have a favorite?
The secret screening was my favorite, and that was a movie called It Comes at Night. which comes out later this summer.
I think it's in June.
I think June. And it was good. It was a good, it's a horror movie. It's sort of the slow, kind of intense, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It reminds me a little bit of The Witch.
Oh, no.
Which, and I think that people who were disappointed in The Witch will might be disappointed in this for similar reasons.
Oh, because it's not good?
No, because it's not, I mean, it's not like The Witch. It's not old-timey language, and it's not it's not some other things. Anyway, I thought it was very good.
Well, I'll
very
still
effective.
Be seeing it, so.
Yeah. That was my favorite. It comes at night.
Okay.
And, you know, fun parties and fun atmosphere, and I had a really good time, and I hope we both get to go next year.
Okay. You're into it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am definitely on board. It was very, very well run, very smoothly run. And the guys who did it did host a festival at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado for a few years, the same kind of thing. And now they've moved over to Timberline. I think it's an upgrade for them.
Okay.
But so they, you know, it's not their first rodeo. They've done festivals before, and it was all very well run and lots of fun, and nobody died.
That's good.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for the Overlook. Thanks to the Overlook Film Festival for having me there. And next year we'll both go.
Nice.
They had a cutout. Maybe you saw my picture on Twitter or somewhere of the twins from The Shining.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could put your faces in the twins. Uh-huh. Obviously, that should have been me and you there. Not me and whoever the other guy there was that I had to stand there with me.
You don't even remember his name.
It's Lewis Peitzman from BuzzFeed, who I had not met until this weekend, and he's fun. He's the one whose room got busted into. He wrote about it on BuzzFeed, yeah. But yeah, it should have been you. You should have been my other creepy twin. And now, as promised, before we wrap up, we'll reveal the terms of the bet for the Summer Box Office Challenge. We asked for suggestions. We actually got some good suggestions. We got
some
that we
too surprised.
Could not use. Here's what we got. Here are the terms of the bet. The loser of the bet will have to record a solo audio commentary for a movie of the winner's choosing, which will undoubtedly be a movie that the loser does not want to watch. I would assume.
I'm going to have, when I win, I'm going to preface my audio commentary because I already know what I'm going to make you watch.
Okay.
But there's gonna be terms to it.
Terms? More terms?
You have to watch it in my way.
What's your way?
You have to find the positive.
All right.
You have to root for it.
All right, that'll be fun.
Something like that.
I'm on board with that. I got to start thinking of a movie that you hate.
Well, you got a summer. So.
Yeah, I have the whole summer.
Okay.
Solo audio commentary, which we will then release for free to the public to hear.
Oh, I thought it was just for the other person's pleasure.
No, it's for everybody.
I know.
And then also at Fantastic Fest, we like to involve Fantastic Fest.
This is so weird.
The loser will have to dress like a clown for 3 days at Fantastic Fest.
3 days.
Full clown regalia. Maybe not the white face makeup, but full clown costume.
For 3 days straight?
Three days. Your first 3 days of Fantastic Fest, you dress as a clown. I'm already laughing at the sight of you dressed as a clown.
I'm going to be so unhappy dressed as a clown.
I know, because you stick out anyway for being so dang tall.
Oh, what if it's warm,
too? It will be warm. It's always warm.
Ugh.
Oh, it'll be terrible.
At least I can wear my regular shoes.
That's true. Clown shoes are actually too small for you. You got your wish on this one. You really wanted, if I lose, you really want me to be the new father to your children.
Right. But we scaled it back a bit to make it to finally get you to shake hands on this deal.
If I lose, so, what did we say? Yeah. It's like from noon until bedtime?
From noon until 9, pretty much, because like Dylan will be asleep before then.
Yeah.
So like noon until 9. And here's what I realized what I would do.
Yeah, where are you during this time?
I'm at your place, and I've, like, pre-planned watching movies. And I'm just, like, going – I'm gorging on, like, KFC or something awful like Carl's Jr.
Right. Okay.
And I'm just watching movies.
You're living it up while I'm – This will be, like, a Saturday, and I'm over at your house with your kids and possibly also your wife.
Yeah, we'll let her know about this bet later.
Poor Lisa.
So that's what I
that's
get.
If I lose, if you lose, if you lose, then instead of that, you have to pay for me to get a 90-minute massage, which you have to watch.
So weird. So weird.
We worked that out because the cost of the massage is about what it would cost you a babysitter and that's
right.
kind of the
what
equivalent,
pay,
and
right.
you having to watch just to make it more, just to add to the discomfort, the equivalent discomfort of me having to be babysitter for your kids for 9 hours. Not enough for you to pay for me to get the massage. You need to actually suffer too.
This makes me think maybe Lisa won't be around. The babysitting. Maybe you have to have both of the kids.
Oh, man.
Although then the safety of my children. I don't know.
You should have thought of that before you brought it up.
All right.
And then finally, and this, I believe this was a suggestion from someone, I think, and I like it. I like where your head's at. The loser will have to take a public education dance class at Portland Community College. And we're going to let the loser choose which dance class. I was looking at this. I don't know what they'll have in the fall and winter, but currently in the spring, they've got like 10 different classes. There's pole dancing. There's like salsa.
What?
And there's Broadway jazz and tap and whatever.
Broadway jazz?
Yeah. But the loser will get to choose which dance class they take.
I wonder if I want to.
But again, I don't know which ones they'll have in the fall.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Don't get your hopes up. Yeah. So there you go. It'll be solo audio commentary, dressed as a clown for 3 days at Fantastic Fest, either babysitting or massage, and then taking a dance class at Portland Community College.
There we go. There's the terms.
Everyone, I want you just right now in your head, I want you to picture Jeff Baer either dressed as a clown or picture Jeff Baer tap dancing.
That's what I'm leaning toward.
It's funny.
If it's
either
available.
Way. Whatever you're thinking of there is funny.
I think I'd be kind of good at it.
At tap dancing?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because I got a little bit of coordination. I got timing.
Okay.
I got rhythm.
I think your giant clown feet will be a hindrance in tap dancing, is what I think, but I don't know.
Well, I don't. I have loose ankles, if you know what I mean.
I've heard
so that might help. Is that good? Is that good for tap? Loose ankles?
I don't know. I love watching tap dancing.
Dangly. Ankles that barely grab onto your fat, long, gigantic, bulbous foot.
That doesn't sound good now that you phrase it that way. I don't know. Well, maybe this is when you're finally going to break your ankles.
I thought you were going to be like, find your potential. I thought you were going to say something positive.
You've always had it in you to be a world-class tap dancer.
You know I've always wanted to be a tap dancer. You know that's my dream.
I think I would do tap if it's me. Just because I like watching tap dancing. I love seeing like a big chorus of people tap dancing in unison. It's great. It's amazing to watch.
Would your hope be that, like, along with the cost of the program, you get tap shoes? Or is it like, ugh, then I have to pay for tap shoes on top of
this? I bet I got
to
pay for tap shoes. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
That's how they get you?
Yeah.
By the way, post credits, you got to stay for them with Guardians of the Galaxy. If we didn't, there's like eight or nine.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah,
just keep that in mind.
A couple of them will tell you things that don't mean anything to you. Probably like they always do at the end of the Marvel movies, like reveal this character, and you're like, I don't know who that is.
Here's something. I wonder if you saw it. So. There was just like, you know, during the scroll, this isn't even a scene, people. During the scroll, there's just pictures of the cast and there's pictures of somebody else.
Yeah.
And then like little circles of people dancing and stuff. Did you see Jeff Goldblum?
Yes. I was there with our friend Travis, and I, out of the corner of my eye, saw it. And Travis said, was that Jeff Goldblum? And I'm like, why would it be Jeff Goldblum? Like, I had seen it and it didn't make any sense. But yeah, what's Jeff Goldblum doing there? Who's Jeff Goldblum?
I think he's in some Thor. I think he's in Thor, maybe.
Oh, he might be one of the Thors. All right. Well, now we've spoiled that Jeff Goldblum has a photo cameo in the credits.
Should we cut that? Is that too much for people to handle?
So in summary, then, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, it's fine.
I think it's good. It's a step down, but it's good.
It's good. It's fine.
It's the kind of a popcorn flick that you don't feel sick after.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. There's a low bar.
I know, but sometimes these things make you feel nauseous.
And then we also saw Buster's Malheart, which we didn't care for, but it was a noble effort.
And we tried.
We did try.
We tried with that movie. We've seen it four times combined.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3.8 times.
Yeah. And that's all we talked about, I think, on this show. And then the box office challenge, and we'll update you. Keep an eye on our Facebook and Twitter. We'll be updating you once the as results begin to come in from the box office.
My hunch is Eric's going to take an early lead.
I think I will probably be in the lead to begin with. But, you know, after that, it's anyone's ball game.
After July, it's anyone's ball game.
It's run all summer long. We get to listen to you and your excuses all summer long.
I didn't get the number one pick.
Oh, my gosh. So until next week, for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
Said good day.